Good morning.
Well, a simple question. Obviously, there's this push on for greater diversity in engineering programs, but simply put, why is it important in engineering to have this greater diversity?
So we know that a diverse population of engineers and scientists working on a problem will yield better outcomes, better results. And in fact, the best data on this really comes from the U.S. Army, which has much better control over human subjects than many of us get to experience. And so they've collected terrific data showing that diverse populations make better decisions. And it seems to be a result of people taking the time to explain more clearly to people who are different from them what their thoughts are, what their logic is, and that leads to better outcomes.
You know, one of the statistics that stands out here in the release that came out of UB about this is the lack of diversity when it comes to African Americans at some of the major tech companies. One of the stats that at Yahoo, only 2% of the workforce is African American. Facebook might even be lower than that. Are there some explanations as to why there are a lack of African Americans in engineering?
I don't have good explanations for it. It's clearly not a question of aptitude. There are questions about preparedness, so that where we have populations of African-American students who are locked up in inner city, in urban schools that are underperforming, it clearly leaves them underprepared to come to university and take the degree programs that would lead to exactly these jobs. So it's very clear that we have a structural problem. But it is also clear that when we do manage to attract those students to STEM degrees at university, they're less likely to stay in the program, they're less likely to succeed. We have an underpreparedness problem as students arrive at college, but I would also say that the colleges are struggling and admit that they're struggling to help these students to succeed once they do get to college.
Upon visiting some of the engineering programs around the region in recent years, most certainly you do see more and more women in high-level posts in engineering departments. Obviously, you're a classic example of that as the dean of the UB School of Engineering and Applied Sciences. But can you maybe take me back to when you started off and perhaps maybe some of the obstacles that you faced moving forward?
Sure. I tell these stories because they're kind of funny when you look back on them. Believe me, they're not that funny in the moment. But I started in physics, and for my physics labs in first year, I was partnered with a chap who never missed an opportunity every week to say, "You can't do that, you're a girl." I had enough determination to push past that, and in fact ended up being quite good friends with him, because you're trapped in a fairly small degree program for 4 years together, you might as well get along. But it was, you know, it's that sort of stuff that could be interpreted as humor but nonetheless whittles away at your self-esteem and determination that I think puts many students off pursuing these sorts of degree courses. I hear women come up to me frequently and say, "I started off in engineering or I started off in chemistry and something happened along the way and I got pushed out. And when I look back on it, I so regret that I didn't have the determination to stay there." And they blame themselves. But the reality is the institution needs to take responsibility for the fact that the environment for learning was somewhat hostile or even very hostile in some cases. When I started, I was the first woman to get a PhD in physics for 20 years at my institution. I was in a tremendously supportive environment as I did my PhD. I didn't realize I was in that role, and so I was much supported. But it's still remarkable to think that for a 20-year period, there were no women PhD students.
And then finally, you touched upon the idea that institutions have to take some responsibility or a lot of the responsibility in this matter. But at the same time, we also bring up the idea about engineers. This is a unique field, to say the least. What are some of the key characteristics that an individual needs to have to get through to become a successful engineer?
So I don't know that it's as unique as people think. In a healthy engineering environment that celebrates diversity and welcomes it and enjoys it, as it were, there's room for people of all types. There's room for introverts and extroverts. There's room for people that are very verbal and people that aren't all that verbal. There's room for the lone wolf, and there's room for the person who really loves being in the thick of a huge team working on a monster project. I don't know that it's as different from other work environments as people imagine. I do think in this day and age it's very fast-paced. So it's not good for people who want to take a very, very long time to resolve a particular problem, perhaps, although I'm guessing there's still space for them somewhere. So I don't know that it is as different as people imagine it is. There's sort of a lot of hype, I think, about some of the environments that that engineers thrive in. It's not actually all that different, I think, from other realities.
Dr. Liesl Folks is the Dean of UB's School of Engineering and Applied Sciences. She joins us by phone this morning. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Jay. Lovely to talk to you.